There is no questioning the data. Buddhism is a force to be reckoned with. Estimates of the number of practicing Buddhists around the world ranges from 350 million all the way up to 1.6 billion. Buddhism is also recognized as one of the fastest-growing religions in the world. A University of Michigan professor has spent the past 12 years putting together what has now been hailed as the most authoritative, comprehensive reference on Buddhism ever produced in English. It's the Princeton Dictionary of Buddhism, co-authored by Robert Buswell of UCLA, and my next guest, Donald Lopez. He's chair of the Department of Asian Languages and Cultures, and he's a distinguished professor of Buddhist and Tibetan studies at the University of Michigan. Donald, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
When you set out to write this dictionary, what was it you wanted to cover and for whom were you writing?
Well, my field of Buddhist studies goes back 140 years, and over that time, no one has really tried to produce a comprehensive dictionary on the religion in a Western language. So there have been smaller dictionaries, a dictionary of Zen, a dictionary of Chinese Buddhist terms, but there's never been an attempt to really get all of the major terms of Buddhism between two covers of a big book.
Well, it is a big book. I don't know if we have a scale here, if we could put it on the scale and weigh it. But
5.5 pounds.
Well, there we go. We know it's a staggering book. How does this dictionary, Don, compare to what has been written and produced in Asia?
Well, the Asian dictionaries tend to be just for China, just for Japan, just for Tibet. And this was an attempt to really include the entire Buddhist world. And therefore, we had to deal with 6 canonical languages.
For those folks who are listening who maybe didn't take comparative religions in school, we've all heard the term Buddhism, but maybe people don't really know the details and the origin of it. Give us kind of a primer, if you will, on Buddhism.
So the Buddha was born in India. We think that he was born probably around 480 BC, so almost 500 years before Christ. He had a small group of disciples. He taught the famous Four Noble Truths.
Which are?
They are that life is suffering, that suffering arises out of desire. That there is an end to suffering and there's a path to the end of suffering. The end of suffering in Buddhism is called nirvana, which is, of course, a term that we all know and which has a long entry in the dictionary, as you can imagine. So he lived for 80 years, and after he died, his followers began to spread his teachings across India. They went through up into what is Pakistan, what is today Afghanistan, down into Sri Lanka, so spread throughout all of Southeast Asia, then eventually to China, Korea, Japan, Tibet. And so certainly in terms of geographical expanse, it was much larger than Christianity for 1,500 years, really until the rise of the great European empires.
In the Middle Ages.
Or even after that, right?
Yeah.
So the first missionaries start going to Asia, just probably in the 12th century or so. Yeah.
Yes. Well, and when we talk about Buddhism, there are many Buddhisms, correct?
Correct, right. So we tend to think of Zen. That's probably the most famous form of Buddhism in America. And that's because of some strange historical circumstances that got the beat poets back in the 50s, Ginsberg and Gary Snyder and Jack Kerouac interested in Zen. And so that sort of spread through the 60s. So Zen was a very big thing. In 1959, the Dalai Lama fled from Tibet to India. And so in the past 3 decades or so, Tibetan Buddhism has become very big. And then most recently, a form of Buddhism from Southeast Asia has become very popular. And this is where we get the mindfulness practice that is so much in the news today.
There was a big, big feature. I've got it here from the New York Times from November the 3rd, Mindfulness at Every Turn. And it really went into detail of the growing interest in mindfulness. And you've even got the Google and the Apple execs who have given us the technology to be plugged in at all times are taking courses and workshops in how to unplug and seek mindfulness. You've got the Marines are testing mind fitness training to help their soldiers relax. We also see this growing number of yoga studios across the country, certainly here in Michigan. What is it people are looking for, do you think, when they are seeking this mindfulness?
Well, mindfulness is a very simple form of meditation that comes out of Burma in the early 20th century, and it spread throughout Southeast Asia and then to the States in the 60s and 70s. And now it's really caught on much more because there have been some psychological studies that have shown the kind of lowering of blood pressure and the various sort of neurological effects of various forms of meditation. So it's very simple. You're just kind of watching your thoughts, and as a result of that, you are supposed to sort of calm down. It's a way of reducing distraction, and as we know, distraction is increasingly an issue in our lives today.
Well, in fact, this New York Times piece describes, I believe it was a Google executive who actually left his smartphone back in his hotel room while he took a walk, not plugged in. And I dare say very few of us do that anymore. We will go home to get that smartphone. What is that costing us, do you think?
Well, from the Buddhist point of view, distraction is what sort of sends our mind off in 100 directions. And it's when our mind is not under control, we start getting involved in all sorts of negative emotions that then have negative effects for both ourselves and others. And so the idea is to sort of get that mind focused on a single object, and there are many objects one could choose from love, compassion, a statue of the Buddha, one's own breath. There are many such objects of meditation, and that's really to get the mind away from its kind of, they call it the drunk monkey of the mind that runs to all objects without our control, and we're supposed to get that wild monkey sobered up.
The book is The Princeton Dictionary of Buddhism, being published December 11th and co-authored by Robert Buswell of UCLA and my guest, Donald Lopez of the University of Michigan.